Okay. So there's something that I just feel so deeply grateful for, right? So deeply grateful for. Because I know if I didn't have this experience in my life, if I didn't have this trajectory that this experience helped me to move forward with the next 20 years of my life, I know I wouldn't be who I am today, right? I wouldn't care about the things that I care about. I wouldn't, you know, stand by them and want to become more than what I would just be by myself, for example, right? So, for instance, I had a moment yesterday where it was very clear that I was in a becoming stage, right? Even the conversation that I was having, I could see myself growing within that conversation, right? It was kind of a sticky situation that I brought myself into. Okay, so before I, you know, had this experience, the experience that I'm talking about is learning how to have mighty prayer, right? Learning how to literally, like, go to my knees, fold my arms, and close my eyes and take myself to that place where I literally feel like I am at the throne of my Heavenly Father, who's my King, I'm his daughter, you know, that kind of feel, and having this dialogue back and forth, getting my information for the day, right? Getting my news for the day, getting my news feed from the person that knows the universe inside and out, right? The best news feed, accurate news feed that I could access, right? And really coming into that space of humility, right? Humility, being humble enough to be ready to be teachable, right? And to learn the ways of how to become this person that is willing to do things that are of higher value and greater generational difference for the good of my kingdom, right? And myself, more than harmful and hurtful, right? So that's the experience that I'm talking about, like that trajectory of doing that every day for ever since I was 15, right? It was so moving for me, right? To the point where, you know, even yesterday I could see myself where I've come, but also how far I have yet to go, right? So I was having this conversation with this person in my family that, you know, I realized that their love language is gifts, right? Their love language is gifts. They love feeling like, you know, pampered and surprised and, you know, these kinds of things. And I kind of did a taboo thing, right? I did. I didn't really realize I did it until I said it. But I had mentioned something about how I had made a certain amount of money from this certain, like, business that I had, the side business that I had created, right? And then I said something to the effect of, oh, and then here we go with, like, all of my profit going towards this haircut for you, right? And, you know, and then this person was just kind of, like, needing to kind of, like, feel like they needed to, it kind of put them in an awkward place, right? Like, and I do, I need to repent about that. I need to be willing to just kind of be like, you know, that was a taboo for me to even bring that up, right? I really shouldn't have even said that to you, right? Maybe if I had some of these feelings, I needed to be talking about them with Heavenly Father and be like, hey, Heavenly Father, I'm really having a hard time with being generous, right? Because there's a lot of things going on in my mind right now. And really, when I think about giving gifts to people, that's like the least of my concerns, right? One, because gift giving is not my top love language. Like, I don't enjoy giving gifts. So it's always this like huge nagging opposition for me where it's like, I know this person is important. I know that they feel loved by receiving gifts and feeling that honoring, cherishing specialness in that way. But there's always still that side of me that's still growing to be selfless and generous enough to be like, this is how this person feels loved. And not turning it into this kind of like resentment, obligation, you know, you shouldn't, you know, be pushing me to feel like I need to give this to you, kind of a underlying tone of conversation. You know, I think that's kind of I probably was being a little like, a little or a lot passive aggressive, perhaps, you know, in saying like, yeah, I'm willing to give this to you because that's your love language, because I'm learning that that is kind of how I feel sometimes. It's like when somebody needs something, especially when I haven't really been very in tune or in touch with them, I feel this ownness, right? I know that they need this. I know that I'm the one that can give it to them. And there's this hesitation part of me that hasn't totally matured yet to that point where I'm just so happy to do that, right? You know what I mean? Like, and I had just been talking about this with this person, saying how I was so amazed by the example of somebody in my family as well, who, you know, their love language also is gifts, right? That's why, you know, their version of fun is saying, hey, let's go shopping, and you fill up your shopping cart, and I'll pay for it, right? That's like his version of wanting to serve and love someone else, right? Whereas for me, and like the context that I grew up with, something like that just sounds so frivolous and so like careless and carefree, and it's just almost too much. Like it, like I remember the first times that this person did this to me, right? Like that's like the language that I'm still working with, right? They didn't do it to me, they gifted me, right? Like I remember the first time this person did this, I was so like blown out of my mind. I was like cultural shock times a million, because I was like, no, nobody does this, right? Nobody like cares to spend this amount of money on somebody's shopping spree, right? Like that's just not what people do, right? Like when you have to get something, you get it, but you don't like just like fill up a whole shopping cart just because you can, right? Like that's just not how we do things, right? And so then I just saw it as this huge sacrifice and burden in some ways of like, I need to pay them back for this kind of like generosity that was just like uncalled for, right? You know, so that I'm not taking advantage of them, right? Like that's where I go when someone gives me something that's like over the top, wow, right? And so maybe there's a part of me that's just like almost like thinking that there should be other people that are just so aware of how much of a sacrifice it is for a person to give, right? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a lot of my own background baggage that was brought into this conversation, right? Because I did feel that, you know, get that personal like assurance about that at some point in one of the first retreats that I went to that was all about inner child healing. And one of the things they mentioned is like, whenever someone just like body checks you out of nowhere, like emotionally or in a conversation with anybody, right? It's because they have some basement beliefs about themselves that they just so happen to be spilling out in the conversation with you. And it actually doesn't have anything to do with you, right? It's mostly to do with their own basement beliefs about themselves, right? That they haven't healed yet. And it just so happens that it came out and came up in the conversation with you, even though it had nothing to do with you, right? But it turns out that you feel like it was your fault, or, you know, like you feel like so awkward and so confused about why and how this conversation even came to pass, because you didn't even feel like you deserved that, right? And so maybe that was what was going on. Maybe the person that their greatest desire is to get this haircut, right? Like, so what? Like, I think I'm just learning how to be a person that's willing to acknowledge that there's different people in my circle that have different interests, right? You know, one person's gift, like put against another person's gift, I just need to become a little bit more aware that I can't afford to live a life where I'm only favoring gifting people according to the things that they are wanting gifted to them and how they match up to something that I'm genuinely interested in, right? That's what I mean when I talk about, you know, when I think back to my prayer, mighty prayer experience and the perspective that I gained of like, hey, what could I be doing that could be causing the most good for my kingdom and the least amount of harm for my kingdom generationally, right? And so when I think of something like this, I'm like, I think this is one of those subtle things, right? right? Where I can start learning this process that's mentioned in these ancient texts that I love, right? Where it talks about, like, there's this quote in there that's something to the effect of, the natural man is an enemy to God. And, you know, it's that idea that, like, you know, if I'm going to be so picky and choosy about somebody else's gifts that they are asking of me, you know, and thinking that I need to micromanage even the gifts that they, their gift list, wish list, whatever, because it needs to match up with my interests, like, that to me is very natural manish, right? That to me is just very much like, whoa. Like, that shouldn't even be, right? Like, and I think about, like, Heavenly Father and how he's like, hey, like, I care about you and your individuality. So just, like, talk to me about it, right? Talk to me about what you're actually interested in, all this kind of stuff. And he knows how to give good gifts, right? And so he will. He will listen and take care of those things, right? And so that's what I mean, is, like, I'm learning because of this path of, like, mighty prayer, because of this path of, you know, putting off the natural man and stepping into my spiritual man, you know, man, woman, it's the same idea, like, person, right? Putting aside that natural person, that ego side of myself that thinks that, you know, thinks kind of almost naturally narcissistic, right? It's like putting that person aside and being like, whoa, like, just hold up for a moment, or even forever if possible, right? And let's just think a little bit about what the spiritual person inside of me would say about this, right? What if I could have rewind that whole situation and could have been like, oh, well, I'm so grateful that I was blessed to be able to have profit for my last business that I, you know, facilitated. And I'm so grateful that it just so happens that the amount that is, you know, for affording this gift for you, for your B-day kind of thing, it just so happens it's like the same amount. So the amount that I got is the amount for that. Like, and it's just so cool the way that, you know, I've had different instances like that before where I felt that confirmation of, like, I just got this sum, this lump, this just this amount of money. I really wasn't even planning on it, for example, right? But let's look around and see where it could be best directed. And then when I see that the numbers match up, it's almost like heavenly bookkeeping. It's like one of the most beautiful things to witness, right? When it's like the numbers line up almost perfectly. And it's just like, this is how to balance your heavenly checkbook, right? This is how to balance your heavenly bookkeeping, right? Like, this is so much fun to get to be a part of that, and the trust that's given in those instances, right? You know? And I do, I care about becoming like my heavenly parents. I care about becoming a person that would love to enjoy fun in helping someone else fill up their shopping carts, right? I would love to expand my capacity in being able to acknowledge that, hey, this person's love language is this. Hey, I have enough capacity in myself, and if I don't, I can stretch and I can borrow that strength from my heavenly parents, and I can gift this person something that is meaningful to them, period, right? And I'm like, yes, that is where I want to go, right? That is the person I want to become, right? So that's what I mean when I say, hey, when I get to be this person that started my journey 20 years ago, learning how to have mighty prayer, this is where it's ended up for me so far, right? This is what 20 years after the fact looks like for me, right? It doesn't look like I'm this perfect person that, you know, takes every situation and I can talk to each person like this, like as if it's the heavenly guide talking to them, right? There's definitely moments where I'm like, you know, in and out of spiritual consciousness, right? And, you know, sometimes I'm straight in and I'm like spot on saying the things that need to be said to be uplifting someone and helping them to feel that love of God. And then other times, I'm in this state of, like, you know, still dealing with the basement beliefs about myself, the old belief patterns that I'm still trying to, like, let go of the old and bad and embrace the new and helpful, right? And so, like, it is kind of like this feeling of like, well, it's so unfortunate that others have to endure through my process of healing, right? I would much rather live a life where I was already healed, right? I've already healed all of those aspects of myself, and then the people that I cherish the most get to experience my fully healed whole person self, right? Like, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be such a lovely life to live? Where others, like, where people really get to see your best self and your best season of life, you know? But I realize that that's not necessarily what's needed, right? I feel like what's needed is more to do with us learning how to be compassionate with one another amongst our imperfections, right? Learning how to, you know, have to overcome our toxic perfectionism and actually need to exert some level of, you know, spiritual workout to get to that place where it's like, hey, I can love you now, right? Like, I it's not natural for me to love you, but I am striving and I'm working on loving you. And I think that's what I love about Mighty Prayer. It's like, yeah, I could go about my day and my life just being me, right? I really could, right? There's this huge tangent out there that's all about that, right? It's like, oh, just be you, just, you know, do everything. You be your own God kind of thing, and you just, like, you create your own rules for life and all of this, right? But then there's that other side of it where it's like, yeah, you could do that, but why would I limit myself to only being able to access just me, what me, myself, and I think and have perspective on? That's like this whole perspective that I remember reading in this one book, and it was so spot on. They talked about the dangers, and this wasn't even in the context of like one person thinking that they have all the answers. This was in the context of one generation thinking that they have all the answers, right? Because the idea was like, The counsel in this book that they had was like, hey, be very leery about spending too much of your time in mom groups, for example. Because a lot of the time when you're in these mom groups, everybody there is in the same generation. They're in the same age. They have the same problems. They have the same perspectives. They have the same everything. And so they bring up all these like issues and things, but there's no true perspective or resolution that can happen because truly, solutions come when there's this multi-generational problem solving that happens when you have family council kinds of opportunities, right? Where there's the young, there's the older, they're the oldests, the elders, right? When all of them come together and are able to then be like, hey, this is the problem. How can we approach this problem in a way that is the most helpful amongst acknowledging all of our strengths, right? And I guess that's what I mean when I say learning how to have mighty prayer. That's me having learned 20 years ago that I don't have to have all the solutions by myself. I don't need to find them all by myself. I can actually ask for help from the people that created these opportunities in the first place, right? I have the opportunity to become a person that gets, you know, in some ways like, X-ray vision, right? X-ray vision into the eternities, right? The eternities like before and after, like where I am right now. So I'm just like super smitten that like I was able to start that mighty prayer journey like 20 years ago. And even though there's always parts of me that's like, I haven't really come that far, right? I wish I have come even further than where I am currently, right? Because I did. I totally erroneously, because of life experience, right? I remember being a teenager and being like, oh yeah, I'm going to like knock it out of the park. I am like so able to be diligent and so able to be this rock star teenager person right now. You know, I'm able to be healthy. I'm able to be strong. I'm able to like plan my time wisely. I'm able to do all the things. Like, I am an amazing human being that can do amazing things, right? I'm going to live the rest of my life with this level of ability and this level of being able to knock it out of the park. Yes, there's still trials. Yes, there's still challenges, but I'm so able to overcome all of it, right? And maybe because I did. I had a really strong testimony of being able to like rely on the strength of God and all these things. And so I knew I had that too, right? So I was like, yeah, that's all I need, right? But then like over time, it became clear to me that, yeah, the trials that I had as a teenager were not the same trials that I have as a 20-year-old. And they're not the same trials that I have as a 30-year-old. So just because I felt like, yeah, by the time I was 18, I was at the point of being able to overcome all of my teenagehood trials, like, there's a whole other ball game when you have 20-year-old trials and 30-year-old trials, right? And so they're not the same trials. And so that was like one huge wake-up call. I still remember being like, oh, I thought that when I turned 18, I had already solved all of my life problems, right? I really thought I did. I was like, oh yeah, it's gonna be easy peasy from here. I already know everything and it's gonna be great, right? I'm gonna know exactly how to do the rest of my life. And because I assumed that the rest of my life would have just teenage problems, right? And that because I had overcome them, I was gonna be able to like just like totally do this, right? And I just didn't have the context, right? I didn't have the context of what I would struggle with in my 20s. What would I struggle with in my 30s? And that it was this constant flow of me needing to still learn and progress and still find self-compassion and allow for that self-mothering ability to be a blessing for not only myself, but those around me,